Welcome to the Eden Assignment, sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Institute. Nominate your martial arts hero for the 2020 AMAA Legends Awards Banquet. Visit our website, www.whoswhointhemartialarts.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Karen Eden. Got my friend Pastor Lee on the phone with me. Pastor Lee, inundated with snow over here, and snow does a great thing for me because it forces me to not have to go anywhere and to sit around and think. You know what I mean?
I do. Send us some snow, please.
Well, listen, I know that you're a big thinker. Anyway. I just know, because I've known you a long, long time. I mean, since we were basically young people, I've known you. And sometimes we think so much that we get in a rabbit hole in our own head. And then we start thinking and thinking too much. And then sometimes it's not a beneficial thinking. It kind of can be one of those thinking things where we have to, like, give it to God and go to bed instead of staying in that rabbit hole trying to figure stuff out with what happened to us, why we are where we are, and what do we have for our future. You know what I mean?
Yes. I think you call that
I'm basically saying, yeah, well, you need to speak up. That's why I keep saying, you know what I mean? I want to hear you. Yeah, you're going to have to, like, really yell into your phone. I think it's the snowstorm out here.
I'll crank it up a little bit. I think you sometimes call that a time bandit, thinking too much.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I always thought that was a cowboy movie. Am I wrong? I don't know. Okay. I don't know. All right, Pastor Lee, just follow with me today because I have something I want people to know. You know, you are here at this very time, at this very place, for a particular reason, that reason being an assignment from heaven. And I say this, but I want to elaborate on it. You could have been born in the 1400s. You could have been born in the future. You could have been born, you know, back in ancient times. But you were born right now, specifically brought into this world at this time, in this place, for a reason. You could have been born in another country. There's so many elements there, but by perfect design, God has brought each and every one of us into this place, in this space, at this time, for a purpose under heaven. Just think about that for a minute. I mean, you know, I don't like to get political, but I think there are times that if we say that we believe something, we need to make a stand for what we believe in. And I do want to make this stand because it correlates with what I'm saying. Pastor Lee, Ben Carson said something. You know, he's the one that was at one time, I believe, was he not running for president? And he's the African-American man who's a neurosurgeon. And he said something. Of all the things that people say, he said something that really made me think, really put me in my rabbit hole with this, too. He said, you know, people say that life doesn't begin in the womb. He says, then I want to know why it is I do what I do, because I operate on babies in the womb to save their life. And if life doesn't begin in the womb, I'm not real sure what I'm in my calling to do. Basically, I'm paraphrasing what he said. And he goes, trust me when I tell you there is life in the womb. And when he says that, it makes me think of how many people, I mean, what is it? It's an astronomical number just in our country. It's by the millions around the world. How many people will abort the baby in the womb? I mean, even now you have legislation where, you know, like in Virginia, which you're from and I'm from, and I'm ashamed that there is government legislation saying it's okay to kill children and acknowledging it. even after they're born. You know, and I'm like, well, why don't you kill them when they're 3? Hey, kill them when they're 15, because trust me, you're going to feel like it. when do you stop? when do you stop with that thinking, right? But he, you know, when he said that, it really made me think that, first of all, you have someone who's at the top of his profession who does neurosurgery, operating prenatal in the womb, saying, trust me, there is life, and I try to save lives in the womb. Mm-hmm. And then you have this thought of what we just said, that we were brought into this world at a certain place in a certain time for a purpose that God gave us under heaven. Then you correlate that, and here's what I think. I think, well, first of all, somebody just took out God's plan, because God has, he says, I knitted you in your mother's womb. I called you by name in your mother's womb. That is the biblical basis of what we're saying. And he goes, you know, if he says, I knew you in your mother's womb, that's because he had a purpose for you to be here. Everybody. Now, when you come into this world and you don't believe in God or Jesus Christ or whatever, you have free will to do that. But you were in your mother's womb at a certain time because God created you in his image to do something. And it's your choice down the road in your life what you want to do. But that's why you were put there. And so first, I think you're not just aborting a physical life, Pastor Lee. You're aborting a plan under heaven when we abort these kids. And then I think that God had a plan for that person in that womb to eventually meet another person, a mate, a soulmate, whatever you want to call it. God had somebody for that person already in mind. And you take that person out because of inconvenience. I wonder why there's so many single people in the world, Pastor Lee. I wonder, you know, in America, 50% of the women in America are single. 50%. I wonder if maybe someone that was intended for them was taken out in the womb and they will never find that person because of that, because they've aborted not a child. Ladies and gentlemen, you aborted God's plan. That's the shame of the abortion, is the abortion of God's plan. Am I saying some stuff here that makes sense?
Yes, you're rolling. Keep going.
I think about this stuff, especially on snowy days, Pastor Lee, when I can't go anywhere. But it's very true. I don't know of any other animal species that aborts its young out of inconvenience. Pastor Lee, it's inconvenient to have a baby at certain times when you conceive. But if God ordained that child to be in your womb, there's a purpose under heaven for that, and he will help you with that child. He will help you find a way and make a way. And I'm telling you, you know, once that child is brought into the world, it's hard. It gets easier, though, because they start walking and talking, go to the bathroom by themselves. It gets easier to a certain point. But if you just hang in there 5 to 10 years afterwards, you'll be so glad. It's not going to matter that it was an inconvenience at that time. Sometimes things are inconvenience. It doesn't mean that you can't handle it. I Pastor Lee, I know Christian women who've had abortions. And yes, I'm telling you, they have been tortured over it. They have severely paid a price, not because God punishes people, but because you punish yourself, because you've allowed these things to happen. God is good and God is love, but you make choices to cause things to happen in your life. And when you say you believe in the mercy of Jesus Christ and you have no mercy, and you take out your own offspring because of inconvenience, there is a price. There's a price to pay for that, Pastor Lee, and that's why I feel so many women who don't even confess to believe of any type of religious nature, they'll never tell you they had an abortion because of the shame that's associated with that eventually. Listen, you go on and you have kids, and when you raise those kids, you realize, man, I could have done this. It would have been hard, but I would have made it. I would have made it. That's what women who have children who previously had abortions say. A lot of times. I don't haven't interviewed everybody, but a lot of times they do say that. It would have been okay. And I wonder. And then you come to know the Lord, and then you wonder more. You wonder, what did God have planned for that child I carried? Look at me. Look what I believe. Look what I can do. What did I do? What did I do? What did I take out? Pastor Lee, let me just further this one, and then I'm going to move on from this. Let me just further this. You know, if they say that it's a woman's right to do what she wants, you know what? It takes two people to make a baby. What about the men? So many men suffer because they had no choice in what would happen with this child, and it's half their child. They have parental rights, parental rights. I mean, it's almost like society overlooks men and what they want. Maybe a man would want that baby. Maybe a man would want to raise that baby. Maybe a man would have no problem raising that baby. I don't understand the thinking outside of people don't want the inconvenience of what it'll do to their body with women, what it'll do to their income source or their future career. That's the only thing I can think of, that or the social stigma in their environment. All of those things will pass, Pastor Lee. You can get your body back. You can get your body back. You cannot. The social stigma will die down. You're able to get your career. It may take a little longer, but it can still happen. And I just, it breaks my heart. I got to tell you, it really breaks my heart. And I think if you're a mother out there, and it doesn't break your heart, I question what kind of block you have in your head. I really do. I cannot fathom that instinctive reasoning to want to have your offspring live viable, be healthy, and have a good life. So that's what I want to say about that, because it's been heavy on my mind to say that. And I hope that this goes out to the right people. I don't know who listens to our show. Pastor Lee, I have no idea. I got maybe one or two close friends I know listen, because they know me and they know my ability to teach and speak, but other people, I have no clue. But may this, in Jesus' name, go out into the world and make a difference in the way that it's supposed to be. Yes. And as we say, and so it is. All right. Yep. All right. All right, Pastor Lee, you know, all of us are here at this time for a reason and a purpose under heaven. The Bible says that. And Ecclesiastes, correct me if I'm wrong, you're the pastor. There's a purpose under heaven for all of us to be here, a time and a place. Ecclesiastes, am I correct?
Yes, chapter 3.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3, read it. Now, you're very studied, a very learned man in theology, obviously, and I've studied some, probably not as much as you, but, you know, Ecclesiastes, we just know that it was written by a lot of wise men. We don't really know who they all are. We can speculate, but it's a very, very old text. Very, very old document, Ecclesiastes, that got rolled into liturgy of the Israelites at that time, I guess is the right word to put it. I mean, they would go into their temples when they're traveling, or their tabernacle, when they would do their services. Ecclesiastes is one of the books of wisdom that they would read. That's how old it is. It's just a very, very old book.
Yes.
Some really good wisdom in Ecclesiastes. Go ahead.
Yes. Children learned to recite Ecclesiastes, Psalms, and Proverbs, hundreds and hundreds of them, because it was a storytelling tradition where people learned orally, just like we're doing right now, trying to share meaningful experiences that will be remembered in a story form and lived out. And yes, we're on an assignment. We're here for a purpose.
And, now, if you can, go ahead, finish. I'm sorry.
No, please, Ben. Please, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, if you can read Ecclesiastes, Pastor, if people will read it and take the time, it's a very... it's one of those books that's kind of under the radar. I don't know why. Very outside of that one passage in chapter 3 that we're talking about, you know, I don't hear a lot of stuff on Ecclesiastes. But the book, the wisdom that these men are saying, is very heartfelt, and it's good wisdom. It's very good. It talks about life, the meaning of life, and what is life. You know, it's just like the book of Job. Everybody that has studied or went to Sunday school knows the story of Job, where, you know, everything was taken from him, and because of his faithfulness, in the end, he got everything back 10 times, right? That's basically the story. However, Pastor Lee, a lot of people don't read the entire book, and they don't talk about it. If you read the entire book of Job, you will see a man who was tortured mentally. Mm-hmm. You talk about going down a rabbit hole. This guy couldn't figure out why God hated him. So, yeah, he hung in there, but he had many torturous conversations with these wise men, whoever they were, or these spirits or whatever they were, we don't even know, where he was tortured and trying to figure out what he did wrong that God would turn his back on him like that. Because that is the human, that's the human instinct to handle situations as such, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I guess my point is with that, I think it's good to read the whole book and not just tell the story at the end where God blessed Job 10 times over, and he did, to have an understanding that he also suffered as a human being. He asked why a lot. He asked, why, what did I do to deserve this? A lot, but the bottom line is he did remain faithful to God. His wife told him to curse God and die. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, honey. Well,
you're right.
I mean, you know, I mean, he
I'll
lost
just go back
his kid.
To the outhouse now. And
I mean, this book will just rip your heart out. And, you know, I also don't see a lot of people prefacing the book with understanding the conversation that the devil had with God before this happened. That's right. The devil talked to God before Job was attacked. And God allowed the devil to attack Job. God didn't attack Job, but he allowed the devil to. And you go, well, why? It's because, ladies and gentlemen, God knew that Job was going to win 10 times over in the end. That's why.
Yes. Yes.
And when you go through your hard times and you're like, why, if you believe in God and you believe in the power of Christ, which wasn't available at that time, if you believe in these things, you can expeditiously know that you've got good things coming 10 times over.
Yes.
So that's why you need to hang in there. Did Job allow the attack to take place? Actually, he did, Pastor Lee, because if you understand the spirit of fear, Job lived in a spirit of fear. The Bible says every day he prayed, and when he prayed, they recite the prayer in the book of Job. It's filled with fear, Pastor Lee. Please don't take my kids. Please don't let my kids die. I mean, he brings me to another subject of when we pray and we petition, we need not to beg out of fear. We need not to do that. Listen, I always get a kick. I don't watch a lot of soap operas, but I have. I have in my time. I don't have a lot of time now, but I always get a kick in the soap operas when things go wrong. I mean, these people that are living these just torrid lives of, you know, I mean, it's a soap opera, okay, you know, from one bedroom to the next or whatever, one wife to the next or however you want to do it. Then something in the soap opera goes wrong, and they write in that they go to the hospital chapel, and they get on their knees, please, God, please. I'm just saying that, you know, that's all of a sudden begging out of fear. Live your life with the Lord every day. Make it a part of your life. Mm-hmm. Don't feel like you have to beg, because when you beg, you're praying out of fear. And if you look at Job, when Job prayed out of fear, that opened up some kind of a portal or door for the devil to come in and attack, because God has not given us the spirit of fear. Am I right, Pastor Lee? How many biblical references there are to fear? You know, fear not, fear not, fear not. It's a lot.
Fear not.
There's a reason. There's a reason, right? Is there not a reason that God has to keep telling us to fear not?
Yes, because we're fragile and we forget.
Mm. Just like Job. I wonder what happened to Job after all that happened. You know, I wondered what happened to Job. I think fear is the biggest tool, and it's a demonic tool from hell. Think about it. Pastor Lee, when these women, wherever they are in their lives, they abort these kids, they do it out of fear. Fear of their what? Of their future. They're fearful of their future with a child. Listen, God did not give you the spirit of fear. He has not given you the spirit of fear. That's something that I can't impress more upon anybody, and I believe that the devil uses the tool of fear. Because fear, Pastor Lee, it always has to do with the future. Am I right? It is a futuristic spirit. People get wrapped up in their future and how things are going to affect their future. They're not living in the ways of God when you do that. Because God said, if you consider the flowers, the lilies, and the birds, they don't work hard. They don't have to work to look good or get their food. But I'm up here making sure they got everything they need. Just on time, Pastor Lee. On time. Those folks get their food on time. They're not starving and falling out of the sky. Those flowers, Q, they'll grow. They'll be growing here in a few weeks in spite of all this snow. If those flowers down in the ground would go, oh, my God, it's another snowstorm. We're not going to make it. You think flowers do that in the ground? They don't worry about it. They're life. They're a form of life. They spring up. Because God has a timing for everything. And you'll be okay. You'll be okay. There's every book in the Old Testament is a message to you. Every story in the Old Testament is a message to you of how you'll be okay. Pastor Lee, every story. A lot of people go, well, the Old Testament isn't important anymore because it's Judaistic code. We need to just do work on the New Testament and the Church of Christ. Listen, the Old Testament has its place. Every story in there is a story to tell you how you're going to be okay. From Adam to the major and minor prophets who struggled in life, to David, to Daniel, to Joseph, you name it. Every story is about how these people were okay. They did not abort their mission in life. They did not abort it. They did the best they could with what they had at the time, and they held on to the right and their faith in God, and they knew that everything would be okay. They trusted. They still suffered, but they trusted because they know whom they believe. You know, that's the same thing. Even Jesus Christ said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But he said, I want you to not be depressed about it. Be of good cheer because I've already overcome all those things. He did it by his sacrifice on the cross. All those people in the Old Testament didn't have the power of the cross, Pastor Lee. They didn't have the power of the cross. They literally had God. And everybody's like, well, why was God so mean in the Old Testament? Because they didn't have the power of the cross. Because the power of the cross is redemption and the forgiveness of sins. And the Israelites did not have that because he had not yet come. Therefore, God had to get mean with them. And he did many times. He said, I told you not to worship in sex temples. I told you not to make idols and worship idols. I told you not to do these things, and you still did them. I wrote them in the Mosaic Law. Don't do these things. I am the Lord your God telling you don't do these things, and you did them anyway. And now you're going to have to pay the price for that because, Pastor Lee, there was no forgiveness of sins without paying penance because there was no Jesus Christ.
Had to be sacrificed.
Animal sacrifices, the blood that had to be sacrificed. Now, that doesn't have to happen now. We have it so much easier now. So much easier now. I mean, you look at these other religions, Pastor Lee, and Satanism and voodoo, which are real religions, and they still do sacrifices. They still do blood sacrifices. They do sacrifices of babies, which they love abortion. Satanists love... Google it. Satanists are all pro-abortion, trying to fight law everywhere and winning. They want women to be able to abort babies. Pastor Lee, there's more than just their right to their bodies. These Satanists are aborting babies in the name of the enemy because they know that it's power for them when they shed blood. Ugh, there's so much more out there than people even know, than people realize, than people maybe want to hear. I don't know, but there's a lot going on behind what you think's going on. The Church of Satan is very real. Very real. They have no problem telling you they're real. And they love their blood sacrifices because they don't have a Christ for their power source. We have a Christ who already sacrificed, and we've got that blood power source, yet so many of us don't even use it or understand it or know how to use it because there's faith-point churches and pulpits not telling them. Pastor Lee, help me. You're in a pulpit. Why aren't people saying the blood sacrifice of Christ can redeem you from the things you do wrong, can help you have power to have a good future, even though it's not the way you think it should be going? Pastor, why aren't they doing it?
They're doing it because so many people in my former profession like popularity, and they like to please people, and therefore, let's not give them a message that's hard to listen to. Let's not talk about the reality of pain that sin brings. Let's not talk about that because somebody might not put enough money in the offering plate this week. Sorry, it's just honestly true.
And I see a lot of that because it's more important to please people and, like you said, get money in the plate and get the donations. Listen, that's got to go. I have to stand in what I know to be truth. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people listen to this show. I don't know how many people read my stuff. I don't know how many people go to my Facebook, social media, blogs. I don't know, and I don't care because I have to stand in my truth, which is why God designed me at this place in this time to be here. I was just having a conversation with my son. You know, he's senior in high school, and God has really blessed him after he had suffered. God really blessed him. He said something to me. His mom, I heard you talk one time about how all the things that you got as far as fame and money and stuff, it never really made you happy. He goes, I kind of can experience, I see that in my own way. People think that, you know, you've got some sort of capturing of happiness, but it's not like that. It goes away. It doesn't stay. And I literally just told him, the only thing that will last as far as peace and happiness is what you do for God, what he ordained you to do. I mean, and that may be too deep and heavy for him at this place in time, but he's starting to realize that money, power, fame, and fortune, it cannot fulfill that thing, that need that you have. I mean, there is an elation. There's a moment of elation where you're happy. You can't bottle it, though, Pastor Lee. But I can tell you, as I go in and I do hands-on ministries with people who are sick and dying or whatever God called me to do at the time, that is a peace that really causes a passing of any type of understanding that you can't bottle. And I'm like, well, why? People would be like, why would you do that nasty, dirty work? You don't get paid to do it half the time. You're not even getting paid. Why would you do it? Ladies and gentlemen, I do it because that's what makes me happy. That gives me the content. And it's a spiritual understanding that you can be happy when you do what God ordained you to do. So when I do this show, and maybe Pastor Lee, maybe you and me will be the only two people listening. I don't know. But as I do this show, I have peace in my heart because I'm doing what God called me under heaven to do. And there were many moments I look back now and I know. I know that there were times in my childhood that I was not wanted, that I was in the way, that I was too good for nothing as a child to contribute in any way. And, you know, I look at that and realize at least I'm here when I could have been taken out before I ever had a chance. Pastor Lee, it's illegal to kill someone who's dying, who's old, who's suffering with disease, and they've lived their life and they're saying, please help me cross over. It's illegal to take them out. Mm-hmm. However, it's not illegal to take out a life form, someone ordained by God in the womb. It's not illegal to take them out even after they're born now in some states. That's not murder. Help me understand the reasoning behind that. Someone that would have their whole life under heaven to do great things taken out. I don't understand it, Pastor Lee. I really don't.
Black lives matter, blue lives matter. We talk about all the things that matter, but they're the same folks who quote that often say nothing about abortion.
You're right. Lives knitted in the womb, they do matter because God put them there. You may think sin and shame and all this stuff is a reason for that child, that it's not going to have a good future, and poverty and all this stuff. Listen, many, many, many of us out there, and I'll raise my hand, we lived through that. And you know what? God was there. And God took us, and he helped us, and he helped raise us, and he put us in our place. And I'm so glad that I wasn't a decision to be aborted, because I know I wasn't a decision that was wanted. But at least I didn't get taken out, because maybe here I am making a difference in somebody else's life. Thank God. Praise God for that, Lee.
Thank God
for that.
And you are speaking these words in the air, which mean they have power whether another human hears it or not.
Exactly. And you know what? That power, the word has to go out. The Bible says that the rocks would cry out if the name of Jesus Christ wasn't spoken. The rocks will cry out. Made me want to really get a nice rock collection together. Let's put this in my room, because evidently rocks absorb some kind of energy or have some kind of connection to the spirit realm if rocks can cry out.
Indeed.
Everything, Pastor Lee, is something. Even that baby that's supposed to be here, it is something. I want to encourage people to listen. And may these things ponder in your heart, and may you have snowy days where you don't have a choice but to sit there and think. And think. And pray. And just check yourself. And just get back in line with the spiritual journey that God puts you on.
Yes.
All right. Pastor Lee, what's going
story.
On? Hey, listen, I love the story of Joseph. I cry every time I read it, even today. The story of Joseph literally brings me to tears. I love that story.
Here.
Pastor Lee, we're running out of time. Tell me what's going on in your world and what you're doing.
A word first from Psalm 31:24. Be strong and take heart, all who hope in the Lord. Be strong, take heart. On a snowy day, on a sunny day, be strong, take heart. I'm trying to live by that every morning. Say it out loud before I go do my work on antique furniture, which is turning into quite a wonderful ministry with some folks at Virginia Tech and up in some mountain country here in Virginia. Be strong. Take heart.
Pastor Lee, I'm not going to get into it, and we don't have time, but I know you're a carpenter right now, and there is so much behind that. You did not start out to be a carpenter, and that was not your life's purpose to be a carpenter. But God has you as a carpenter right now, and there's a whole testimony behind that that people need to hear. Now, I'm just telling you right now, I'm probably going to call upon you to do that testimony, and I hope you will.
I will.
But I guess I'm just kind of warning you it's coming.
I will be ready.
All right. But in the meantime, you're a darn good carpenter.
Thank you.
And if people need woodwork or refurbishing of pieces and that kind of thing, where can they reach you?
Yourwooddoctor.com.
All righty. And this is a Christian company, and I say that it's not technically a company of Christian things, but this man, he is ordained by God, and he's in a process right now as a carpenter for a reason that we've talked about. But listen, his work has a blessing on it. So if you need carpentry or you need refurbishing or that kind of thing, call upon him out there, because he's got a blessing when he works with his hands right now. Mm-hmm. Pastor Lee, I don't care if you're in a pulpit or not. Blessing is blessing. If you have a blessing on you, you could bake a pie. For Pete's sake, that pie's going to have a blessing on it. I mean,
yes.
It doesn't matter, okay? I just want people to know, people who are blessed and ordained by God, I mean, the blessing flows through their hands and on things, which is why they lay their hands on people. Because when someone that's blessed lays their hand on you, like I talked last week, that mantle that they share with you, that blessing comes on you. So bless the people. Ladies and gentlemen, give your business to people who walk with the Lord because they have a blessing on them that will extend onto you and your products and the things that you get from them. Wow, I wasn't going to say that, but it's true. All right, brother, listen. Well, listen, brother, I got some things going on, too. A little bit of traveling. I don't travel a whole lot in the winter, as most people know. I still have 4 books out there. You can Google them. Still do a lot of writing, still doing my Native American work. I'm not right now because of the weather. However, when it warms up, I want to get busy with that, and I've gotten some offers already into tribal lands to go in and help with Native American people. And you go, well, that's nice because she's Native American. I'm not as much Native American as I am everything else, ladies and gentlemen, but it's in my heart and in my soul to help. And you may not know this, but you're probably Native American too. Long history story, but I mean, there's about 9 million people just on the eastern side of the country who come from Native American blood, and they'll never be able to know or to find out about it because of the paper genocide the government forced back in the turn of the 20th century. Ooh, that's good stuff,
true.
Too. That's another subject
true.
For Some another
time.
Some
of the genomics of Blade has really helped out, though. In my family, we discovered the Norwegian side, mated with some Athabascan up in British Columbia. And so that's
that's unique. And there you are in Rocky Mount, Virginia. That kills me. But anyway, listen. A lot. Don't worry about the DNA testing, guys, because the majority of the ones that are well-known, they have no Native American samples. Indians don't give up their spit that easy. You're not going to be able to have samples to compare to, but just know you kind of feel it in your blood, and maybe you have some oral tradition. I don't doubt at all that you have some kind of Native. You may never find it, but pray for your brothers and sisters that share that bloodline, because they're going through a hard time. And if you can help out, hit me up. If you can help out, hit me up. How can I help you out? Give me money. I need money to fly, Pastor Lee. They're not paying for my airplane ticket. They're not paying for my lodging. Typically, they don't. These things cost money. All right. So that's how you can help. And, of course, your prayers. Of course, your prayers. God bless you guys. We'll see you next time on the Eden Assignment. See you, Pastor Lee. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Be well.
Be well. Bye-bye.
Blog Talk Radio.